The Twins' season ended in Philadelphia, and the end of the line came today for manager Rocco Baldelli, and we're joined by Matthew Leach, Twins beat writer at MLB.com. And Matthew, thanks for the time, and it's turned out to be a busy day for sure.
Yeah, you could say that. I landed from Philadelphia, had a text from PR, and had an announcement shortly thereafter.
Yeah, and they put out a release and relieved Rocco Baldelli of his duties, a third winningest manager in club history. But considering how this season went, it felt in some ways like the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are two sort of ways to look at this that are in tension with each other, frankly. And one is, and I think even if you hear fans, I mean, I realize there was always the sort of angry fringe fire Rocco at every time anything went wrong. Yeah. But I think if you talk to most fans, you talk to most people around the team, I think very few people would say, yes, the manager is the reason why this season went badly. And frankly, if you look at how they played down the stretch, I know the record, I saw it, I was at those games. But if you look at, you know, he never lost the clubhouse. They kept pushing. They played hard. They just didn't have many relievers, and so they lost a million games in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. But you know, they put in this sort of mission to run more, and everybody bought in, and guys looked alive. And so, you know, on the one hand, I think there are any number of reasons that you can say. Not only was this not his fault, but there are things you could point to say he hadn't lost it. They were still pushing hard. With that said, you miss the playoffs 4 times in 5 years. You lose 90 games. You have the way the last year ended. And to me, the thing I keep coming back to, and one thing I want to preface this with is I'm personally very fond of Rocco Baldelli. I thought he was a delight to cover. I think he's a decent man. I think it is a sad day just for a guy who I think is a good guy. But I think that on the baseball side, one, you know, there's sort of like, okay, if he's not the problem, but what is he doing to make the problem better? And I'm not sure what the answer is. I mean, not from a lack of effort, but just like, what can you point to and say, here's what he has done that has made this better or has staved off some of what's gone wrong? It's hard to say. I think the more specific thing that I would point to, and I suspect the thing that they are going to come down to, is you look at what should be the burgeoning core of this club. You look at what should be what you're building around going forward, and that is a couple of separate, not generations, but a couple of classes of young and early to mid-career players. Brooks Lee, Royce Lewis, Matt Wallner, Trevor Larnach. You look at that group, and they have not developed the way that you would hope they would. And you know, one of the things about Rocco that I thought was interesting was very different from the previous manager I covered. The other manager I covered was Tony La Russa, and Tony trusted his pitching coach, but Tony had his hands in everything, and Tony would answer questions about anything. He had his hands on everything. And I'm not saying that's better or worse, but where I'm going with this is that Rocco was very explicitly hands-off with the pitching. He would, you asked him anything about the pitching, a lot of times would say, you should ask Pete about that. That's the pitching guys. The pitching guys can answer that. And he was really hands-off. And really left the pitching to the pitching coaches, bullpen coaches, to that group. Okay, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you are doing that, and if you are saying, okay, the offensive side is mine, the hitting is mine, the defense is mine, and then you've got this core of young guys, all of whom were very high picks, and some of whom have at times, at least in the case of Lewis and to a lesser extent Wallner, have shown potential to be real star-level impact players. And none of them are that right now. And what your manager's bread and butter is supposed to be is the offensive side of the ball. I think that's where the case comes where you're like, man, you hope somebody can get more out of those guys. And I don't know how, and it's not necessarily about cracking the whip or being better understanding whatever it is. It's just like, this is a results business. And the guys who they should be able to build around don't really right now look like guys you're building a roster around.
Yeah, and I want to amplify a point. I think over the years and being here in studio and following ball games or being on before ball games, I was always impressed by how he handled himself. As we talk about Rocco Baldelli, and he'll start the next chapter of his career, and I would assume at some point he'll coach and manage again. I think he handled himself always very professionally. He seemed to answer questions. I think his responses were thoughtful. He never came across as being surly or agitated. And I think over the course of a long season, and he played and now managed in the big leagues, it is a long year. And he has been through some extremely frustrating situations. I think he handled himself like a total pro. And that in itself, I think, is very impressive. It is not easy to do.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think he's a guy you could say you were proud to have as a face of your ball club. I would have no problem
sure.
saying that. And I think that, I mean, part of what's so difficult about managing a baseball team is it's like three or four different skill sets. It is developing in players. It is deploying players. It is running a game, and it is managing humans. And I think he's an exemplary manager of humans for a lot of the reasons you talked about, because you know, the thing that you have to do over the course of 6 months is just maintain. You don't want guys to get too high or too low. And I think that steady presence was really valuable. I don't think you necessarily need, you know, I think, and I know there's some notion in the fan base that either they need to or they're going to go out and get screamer, go out and get somebody who's going to kick some butts and get guys in line. I don't think it's necessary. I'm also not sure it's going to happen, because here's the thing about that. Those guys, by and large, are guys who don't really like having the front office come into their office every night after the game. You know, like, there are some exceptions to that. There are some disciplinarian managers who are also open to that level of front office and dugout manager interaction that the Twins clearly value, and I don't think it's a bad way to go. I think it's a good way to go. I think everybody should be on the same page. But if what you're looking for is a Buck Showalter type, is one of those kinds of guys, you know, it's too late, you know, he won't do it now, but a Tony La Russa kind of guy, if you're looking for one of those kinds of guys, I'm not sure there's many of those guys who are a fit with the way the Twins do business. So, you know, where there was this notion that I do think maybe some fans wanted somebody once in a while to turn over a table, in a, figuratively, to yell and get mad. I think, as you know, I think you're really right. I think there's limited value in that, and I think there's a lot of value in keeping your composure. And the other thing I would say is that I also know that there are times he lit them up in private. He just did not feel the necessity to be public about that. But it's not like he always let everything slide. When he saw stuff, he would call guys on it. He just did not feel it was necessary to berate a reporter to make a point to look tough or to yell to earn points with the fans. He felt that you manage discipline within the locker room.
Yeah, and I talked earlier in the hour, and I think it bears repeating. When you remove a manager, whenever that happens, or a coach in other sports, whether it's the NBA, the NHL, the NFL, you know, WNBA, you name the sport, it isn't ever 100% the coach or managers. There's plenty of blame to go around. Players don't play, pitchers don't pitch, upper management made poor decisions or didn't make the budget available to add players, what have you. There's plenty of blame to go around, but I think any manager or any head coach gets hired knowing that, you know, I'm probably not going to be able to leave on my own terms. That, you know, they get it as well.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, that's how this business goes. You get the amount of time you get. Look, one of the cases, and I was talking to people, I was out with some people this weekend, you know, some friends of mine, some of whom are reporters and some of whom are fans and just people who sort of follow the club. And one of the cases I heard was just like, hey, man, it's 7 years. And again, not to keep going back to my previous tenure, one of the things that La Russa used to say, and I think a lot of managers, I think this is the thing that, although he stuck around for a long time, Nick Saban said, is that there comes a time when no matter how good you are, most of the time your message gets stale. Most of the time, no matter how good you are, at some point, it's best for everybody just to have a new face. And so, You know, again, this is why I keep coming back to, there's no part of me that can say it was unjustified. There's no part of me that can say there's no reason to do this. I can absolutely say it. And at the same time, it's unfortunate. And I think that, you know, I think the guys in that clubhouse probably would have preferred to win enough for him to stick around. I think he was a guy who was well regarded. Like I said, I don't think he ever lost a room. And so that's just, but look, you go 70 and 92. This is what happens. If you are probably picking somewhere between first and fifth in next year's draft, most of the time that's accompanied by a new manager at the big league level.
Yeah. Matthew Leach joining us, covers the club for MLB.com and joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I know it's been a busy day. It'll be busy tomorrow as Derek Falvey, president, and Jeremy Zoll, general manager, meet with the media. And you can expect full coverage here on CCO and, of course, at MLB.com. Matthew, have a good evening. Thanks for the time.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yep. All right. There he is. Once again, Matthew Leach joining us here on the Lake Show. Steve in for Henry tonight. Chris Tubbs is here.